You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Originals After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Originals After Show.
We don't have a song. No song.
Dancing to no music.
That's okay. Welcome, everybody, back to AfterBuzz TV for our Originals After Show. It is episode 16, titled Farewell to Storyville. This was a sad one, and we don't even really know what to do with ourselves at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we just got a bomb dropped on us, man.
We did, and we're alone. It's just the two of us.
I know.
Jesse couldn't come, neither could Amy, but I am your host, Paige Sullivan, joined by the lovely Roxy Stryer.
Hello, happy to be here. At least it is the two of us. If I was watching this by myself, I'd probably be in a corner crying somewhere. So thank you for being here.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Could you imagine watching this at home, like alone, being like, wait, what?
What's going on?
And there's just like all this news right now about Claire Holt leaving the show and just kind of how this episode dropped this bomb that I didn't see coming at all.
I'm feeling very blindsided, to say the least. I know that we'll get to how she does make her farewell to Storyville. But I don't know, going into last week, we were talking about, wow, this is going to be an epic battle, and they're locked in this one place, and how is it going to turn out? And I never would have guessed that this is how it turned out.
And it wasn't even an epic battle, really. I mean, it was more of just, like, talking and pretending there was going to be, like,
we're getting more of the flashbacks.
This past three episode has been flashback heavy, which I don't hate, but I'm kind of hoping as we go into next week that stops, because I feel like we've moved past what we needed to know.
Well, at this point, I'm wondering what more they could really show us when they're not trying to show how. I think essentially what they're trying to do is get us a little more on Team Klaus, not than the other siblings' teams, but than people are or have been in the past, and get people just to feel and know that these characters are broken. They said it a million times tonight. Each one of them completely broken. Look at their past. Stop judging who they are. Look at what they've been through and realize that is why they are acting the way they're acting.
Right.
And so guess what? We get it now.
Right. And I really do think it was a lot about character development, but part of it blows my mind. We just developed Rebecca to a point where I didn't really know all the things she did and what she went through and what she was willing to do for Nicholas. I called him Nicholas, but and now she's just gone.
Yeah, it's crazy. And because we did come over from The Vampire Diaries, which you guys all know, we have some more information about these people. And it's almost like I felt like I didn't know Rebecca anymore. I thought I had her pegged, and I was wrong.
Yeah, we were wrong. So we'll jump into it, though. We'll just start off. They are in the cemetery, and they are stuck there. And I take back kind of what we said. We thought it was like a lunar thing where just till the next moon, but I really do think it was like an entire lunar cycle that they would have been stuck in there.
Yeah, because by the time that they the witches finally got them out, it seemed to be
done.
Anyway.
The moon was already up.
Right. I think it would be by the time that Haley is able to get her werewolf family free, whatever that lunar cycle is. I should have paid more attention in astronomy, I think.
Yeah. Or to my calendar. It usually used to have those like little moons, you know?
Yeah, we blew it there. Totally blew it.
We did. But so basically it is Klaus, I would say versus Rebecca, but it's more Klaus versus Elijah, because Elijah is defending Rebecca and will not let Klaus near her.
Klaus versus Rebecca via Elijah.
Yeah, and so Elijah says, you know, hide, just stay out of sight. You being here is just making him angrier. It's not going to help the situation at all.
Right.
So she's hiding, and I love how she's, like, listening to Klaus and Elijah discuss the situation and, like, just, like, casually on the phone with Marcel being like, no, he's going to kill me. We're stuck here, and this is what's happening.
Right, because she can hear everything that they are saying, but when she's on the phone, there's no way that Klaus could hear what she's saying. Come on, Originals. We know better.
I don't know if it's like you have to be like tuned in to hear it, like he was too busy focusing on Elijah or.
Right. Could be. But it seems that he's always been pretty tuned into her based on the flashbacks we get from the very beginning of the episode with the doll and her being afraid. I feel like he really always has been looking out for her to a fault, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think that all of his attention is on her most of the time. So I would think that's something that he would notice.
I would think so, especially when he's so enraged with her to be like, and now here you are on the phone with Marcel. I think in normal circumstances, that would have sparked some kind of problem. But I did really like, I don't think we've really thrown it back that far to a flashback where they were really like children. And we got to see them interact with one another.
Yeah, it was strange because usually they'll say 1919 or whatever. They'll give us the year, but we didn't need the year because we saw that they were kids. You know, they didn't look the way that they look now. So it's not like once they turned.
No.
Which was vastly different than what we've seen. Like you said, I just wanted to squeeze the hell out of that little boy's cheeks.
Oh,
I mean,
cute.
He was adorable. Their relationship was endearing. And it did make me think about, wow, like, I can't even imagine. I feel a certain way about my siblings. And, you know, it's mostly love. But, of course, it's love-hate. Everybody with their siblings all the time. It's up, it's down. And if I tacked on another 1,000 years, how I would feel, I mean, you got to feel betrayed at some point. And you have to feel completely shocked and happy at other point, you know. So I'm glad we got that bit of history.
I agree. And I think the difference is these people have been stuck with each other. I mean, at least with our siblings, like I live across the country from mine. And we still have issues getting along sometimes. Like Thanksgiving dinner is not quiet in my house.
Certainly not.
So, I mean, it's interesting to see the dynamic prior to becoming vampires. Because I feel like most of the hurt in the pain that they have inside of them stems from when they were growing up, not from after they became vampires.
Well, it depends what you mean by growing up. Yes, when they were that age, but also when we see they look about the same age when the actual actors that are playing them now are playing them in the flashbacks.
Right.
And we see Rebecca about to actually
kill her father,
and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But I'm just saying that even that age, that, you know, we don't really know what year that is. We don't know how old they are then.
No.
But that age and on, yeah, it's scary.
All the way up until basically they became vampires is what has stuck with them. And like she said at the end, which I realized, she's like, we are all broken. Like, we are cursed. This is our life. This is who we are.
Always and forever.
Always and forever.
And then we get the real meaning behind always and forever. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is, that they're...
It's sad, but these flashbacks, I like them. It just shows us the dynamic between all of them and really shows that Rebecca has had her brothers back. And I think it's easy to forget. People were saying, oh, you know, Rebecca betrayed him, Rebecca did this. But at other points in her life, she was willing to risk it all to protect him. And in a home with – this was domestic abuse. I mean, their dad was abusing their brother because he was a bastard. And – I think people forget that just being around abuse and witnessing abuse is enough to scar these people as well.
Right. It is absolutely traumatic, and I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But when Rebecca and Elijah sit there and they say, you forget that we have been through the ringer as well, it is a little different. And I'm sure Klaus can't help but feel, I understand that you guys have been through a traumatic experience because of what you saw, but you guys have no idea what I've actually felt and been through. And I can only guess that he would feel some sort of resentment towards them because they weren't the ones that were actually enduring the physical pain.
No, I'm sure. And I don't mean to say that their pain is similar or even equal, but I do think he forgets that they experienced anything at all.
Absolutely.
I think he acts as though they came out unscathed and they didn't.
Absolutely. And the reason that they are actually enduring the most pain is because of who he ended up being, who Klaus ended up being. Mm-hmm. Because what happened was Michael took away Rebecca's brother from her by turning Klaus into a, some would call, monster.
Right.
And that's the biggest loss that she's faced. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, it's hard to compare apples and oranges, but that's almost as painful, or maybe more painful, however you look at it, as the physical pain he's gone through, you know?
Right.
Like, she, she's losing her brother, and Elijah is losing their brother. They, this guy that they grew up with, who was loving and protective and wanted to shelter them and take care of them, is slowly being ripped from them based on something that's completely out of their hands.
And Klaus, at the end, when he becomes a little bit softened to what everything that happened, he says, you know, he ruined me, and I wonder who ruined him. And that's very telling.
That was crazy to me, and I think that's foreshadowing. There must be something more there. He says, you said we have a father who ruined us. Did he have a father who ruined him?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't... Ooh, fans, this is where you guys come into play. Don't get mad at me. Do we know the grandfather? Do we know the history there? Is that something that... Oh, gosh, like, are we in for some more flashback stories? I mean...
I don't know, or maybe it was just kind of showing a cycle. You know, a lot of times, like when there's abuse, it's a cycle. It's a pattern of abuse that just keeps happening, and that's why they are a victim of it. And I think it's just even saying, you know, father ruined us, and here I am, Klaus, ruining the people around me.
That, and here I am about to become a father myself,
mm-hmm.
and how I treat my offspring makes a difference.
Right.
And who I am as a person right now makes a difference.
Right. And we'll just go through getting to this point.
Right.
With the siblings. We'll just focus on the cemetery and then jump to the side stories. Because, you know, first off, it's just kind of a cat and mouse game, bouncing back and forth. Elijah's saying, you don't know what she did for you, and she stuck up for you. And then really, Rebecca just says, I'm just going to stand here and plead my case. And they literally hold, it looks like a trial.
It's unbelievable how much more rational Elijah is than his two siblings, though. You know, even Rebecca, who people sometimes, they stand up for her and say she is level-headed, even here, I think she completely handled the situation as poorly as possible, fed into everything that Klaus wanted her to. And the real moment we see of her is when she admits for the first time, I wanted you dead.
I might have.
Yeah. I might have. And just in the same way that he might have tried to miss her heart, you know? I think you never really know. You don't let yourself go there with your, you know, you don't have that conversation with yourself. Am I trying to kill him or am I trying to run him out of town? It's almost too much for any one person to deal with. So you don't even let yourself go there. You just think, I need him gone. Mm-hmm. You don't define what that word gone means, or if you are stabbing somebody, you say, I need to stab them. You don't say whether you're aiming for the heart or not, you know?
Right.
So it's very interesting that these siblings are similar in that way.
They are. And I think we said that last week. Elijah is level-headed, whereas Klaus and Rebecca act impulsively, and they really do act on what they're feeling. And here Rebecca is, and she just says, she's saying, I've defended you, Klaus, and you took away my happiness, and you stripped me of the things that I wanted in life, and you were cruel, and you were mean. I don't think that was the right way to go about it. I think she really could have gone into it and said, you know, I was hurt, and say, I'm sorry, like, it was a mistake, and I was in love, and you wouldn't let me be.
Absolutely. What I hated about it was Rebecca kept saying, you did this.
It's your fault.
It's your fault. And I wanted to say, and she kept saying, you won't take any of the blame. And I was thinking, Rebecca, you won't take any of the blame. You did this. I'm not saying that you didn't have reason. I'm not saying you weren't upset. I'm not saying that Klaus is completely in the right, but you physically made the call. Like, you, mm-hmm. you did this. So
yep.
Own up to that. Say, listen, I did this. That was wrong. Here's why I did it. You know?
Right. And she even says, you know, and you bringing Michael here was the lesser of two evils. Like, you were worse than Michael was.
And she's not the only person to say that. I mean, Elijah tonight says, you look like father.
Yeah, and you're turning into, you're like, turning, you are him.
Yeah, you look like our father. What a horrible thing that is to say. I can't even believe that Klaus still calls Michael his father.
And because he's still holding on to what he wishes he had.
Like, I know.
Klaus is just this little broken soul who's constantly trying to prove himself.
It's like if you ever are dealing with somebody and you're so angry with them and you're so upset and you can't see clearly, and then you step back for 1 second and you just simply remind yourself, they're a broken person.
Mm-hmm.
They are a broken person. I'm not dealing with somebody who's live in the same mindset I am. They're completely broken. So you have to put the pieces together and lay the story out as if you would for somebody who was broken.
Or even like a child. I feel like it's the way you have to say it to a child. Like, this is what happened. This is how it works. Like, you have to explain it.
But Rebecca can't seem to do that because she's just as broken. and Klaus can't do it either. What is it about Elijah that makes him be able to be less broken? Is he less broken?
I think it's just their character, like the root of who they are. Rebecca is one of those people who takes on, like she says, she falls in love quickly. Like when she loves something, she's in that. And so I think watching what happened with her father and then knowing that they had to run for so long and she could never have a home, like the one thing she wanted.
And her fear of abandonment.
And her fear of abandonment, that's stuck with her. And like she says, you know, I have a fear of abandonment. You have your issues. And Elijah, he just takes on all of ours. He can't even deal with his because I think he is the epitome of an older brother. Like he's just taking on what they can't handle.
Well, because we've already lost Cole and apparently Finn, who, sorry to say, completely forgot about.
I forgot about Finn, too.
Cole at least is mentioned from time to time. I mean,
that's because he was kind of mean. I mean, we like, he really sticks out because he wasn't really that great.
Yeah, but it's hard to say that, you know, because we would have said that at the same time. If you had asked who was worse, Cole or Klaus, it would have been hard to say. But now I just love Klaus. I love all these siblings, which is why this episode is so freaking devastating.
It's awful. And so, like, Klaus attacks Rebecca, loses control of the situation, and now Elijah has the dagger and the thing.
He has the white oak, and he has the dagger.
And the dagger. And so, Rebecca, but at this moment, Rebecca hides again, and she's on the phone with Marcel, and she's saying, you need to run, because if you don't run, he's going to kill you like he's going to kill me.
Right.
How do you have the time? Marcel knows that. Stop calling him. Like, focus on what's going on. Like, focus on, fixing this situation.
Based on where the end of the episode left us, I'm very frustrated that we spent so much time on Marcel and Rebecca's relationship, and she was still looking out for him every step of the way. Not that he wasn't looking out for her, but when are they going to ever look at each other and say, I choose you above all else? Ever? Because it seems like if there was going to be a time, no. It would have been tonight.
No, it would have already happened. I don't even foresee them being anything ever again. If she comes back, if she doesn't come back, you know, I think that's the end of that story.
Really?
I think it has to be. And it just through everything that happened, how epic this all was. I mean, Elijah's there pleading, you know, her case.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to help Marcel, and Klaus is just trying to show that he feels so betrayed. And he ends up, you know, him and Elijah get into this thing, and he even says, you're still trying to, like, redeem me. Like, you're all still trying to make me a better person. And that's when he stabs Elijah, and things get kind of crazy. But
with the dagger, not the white oak.
With the dagger. Oh, no. He puts, but, you know, I get it. Like, Klaus is all about getting even. You know, you did this to me, so I'm going to do it right back to you. He would never kill Elijah. I don't think the way he was saying, oh, I'll go through you to get to Rebecca. I'll kill you to get to Rebecca.
Do you think, because Rebecca does question it, do you think that Klaus sought out to kill Rebecca and changed his mind? Do you think he never was going to kill Rebecca? Or do you think he meant to kill Rebecca and missed?
No, I think he sought out to kill Rebecca and then changed his mind.
But I agree.
He still wanted her to feel what he felt.
He's not the kind of guy who would miss. And
no, I mean, he's Klaus.
Yeah, and last week we hear him say, I don't want her to suffer. I just want her to die. You know,
right.
He basically says that. So I think that the only reason this week his mind changed was because of Elijah.
Yeah, I think just remembering back to who she was and the fact that they still were, I think that line with Elijah when he says, you're still trying to redeem me, reminds him that they're still trying to fight for the guy Klaus was, who he was as a kid. And so therefore he should look at them and think about who they were, you know? And even if he can't be around Rebecca, which we find at the end, like they can't be around each other, but to remember who she was and just let her live, just
right.
Let her do her thing.
But it's very hard to watch as a viewer. We're sitting here and I'm thinking, yeah, you should fight for who he was. Absolutely. But then I put myself in Klaus's shoes for a second and I think, wow, how frustrating would that be to never be enough, to always have them sitting there saying, we're fighting for who you were, we're fighting for who you were. What about fighting for who I'm going to become?
Okay, but the thing is, they've been waiting for him to prove himself being a vampire, show he has, you know, just a little bit of heart left in him to care for the people around him and not just to be in control of the people around him.
Absolutely.
And so he hasn't proven that. Thousands of years have gone by and he has never once risen above the situation. And I think now he says, you know, like, let's start a new story. Let's let this be a new story for us. That's his chance to be the better guy.
But it's not for us. It's for us as individuals.
Because they can't be together. I think there's...
Because Claire's leaving the show.
Well, because Claire's leaving the show. But even in general, if you grow up in a toxic situation and they've been toxic for each other this entire time, there's some people who aren't good together. Like, separately they can thrive and be good people, but together it's impossible because they remind each other of what was and what happened and the pain.
Absolutely. I mean, as you get older, you grow, and you either grow together or you grow apart.
Yeah.
These siblings clearly have grown apart. It doesn't mean that they could never grow together again, but right now their growth's being stunted because mm-hmm. of what they're doing, trying to force it together.
Yeah.
I don't really understand. I'm not knowledgeable enough on the subject matter yet. I don't think anybody is, to know whether this was the storyline they had planned, so Claire is leaving the show, or whether Claire is leaving the show,
this
is what's happening.
I don't know. In every article I've read, if you guys know anything different, let us know. But every article I've read hasn't really said why.
They just
say she's leaving.
Fans are devastated and she's leaving.
And I don't really understand it because she's been, I think they said, since The Vampire Diaries, she's been in about 50 episodes. So she's been with us a while, since 2011, and that's a long time.
Absolutely. And everybody was so excited when she made the transition over from Vampire Diaries to original. And she's the lead woman on the show.
And it's strange to me because we already killed off Sophie Devereaux. We're going to kill off Father Kay. Rebecca's,
I don't know, the hex thing.
Well, they said it's irreversible, but I mean, who knows? That things always change on these shows. But now Rebecca's gone. It's, that's three.
Celeste
is dead. I mean, that's a lot of characters who have held a lot of weight this season. And the one person I never thought was going to leave, like, was one of the originals. I mean, that is the concept of this show. That is the base of this show, is the original family.
I would have said Haley was going to die before Rebecca did. Marcel before
Rebecca.
Hands down,
any of them. Anybody before the three of them could go.
Yeah,
and it's not like she's dead, but she's gone.
It's just I really do feel kind of blindsided. But you know, they didn't film this episode tonight, so
no.
they have known. And I'm just wondering what came first, the chicken or the egg.
I have to say though, I think they handled it well. I liked the scene between Rebecca and Klaus when he's crying and he's saying, "I loved you. I loved you all. I've always loved you." And they're really having that moment to say, "We care about each other. Like, always have, always will." It was just a nice – if she has to leave, I think this is the goodbye we needed for her.
Didn't you think it was insane, though? I'm not saying that they should have, but that they didn't hug. There was no embrace.
Not even with – like, even with Haley, I thought there'd be something. But she's so – Rebecca is so, I don't know, closed off in a way.
Like, it's not even proud, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's so hard to explain because even with Elijah, it's just like, oh, I came to collect my things before I go. And it was just like a kiss on the cheek and a walk – like – we don't know how long this will be for.
What's going through her head right now, though? I think all she's thinking is, like, freedom. Get me out of here. I'm going. You know what? My mind's already gone. I know I'm leaving, so on to the next, and I'll...
Maybe it's kind of like the, you know, fight or flight kind of thing. Like, she can't deal with her emotions right now because she knows she just has to go, and if she doesn't go, that this is her last chance. You know, this is her only opportunity at freedom, and if she doesn't leave, that's it. She blew it. And so maybe there's no time to say goodbye to them all the way she maybe would have?
I know. I just can't believe, not that I don't love Marcel, I am happy he's staying on the show, but I just can't believe we've invested so much in him and he didn't go with her. And she was so understanding. She said, "I know you love the city."
And she goes, "I don't like to share."
But I thought he was just getting in the car with her. They were already on their way out of the city.
I honestly think that because of that in the show, It means that Claire's leaving the show,
yeah,
and that it's not a Rebecca thing. And I don't think it would have been a Rebecca thing. I don't know why Claire's leaving. I don't know if it's temporary, permanent. I don't know.
You would have to assume that she has another project.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And because there's no other reason she would leave this show.
Well, I hear that she's the best person, so I doubt that there was some sort of
discord or anything.
Yeah.
No, and I just feel like, though, that scene, her end game in our minds was Marcel and Rebecca. Like, mm-hmm. That's end game. And that was something they've been fighting for. And to leave it just kind of like, okay, this is how it is. I think it's because she's leaving the show and Marcel's not. And what would be the point of having him leave just because Claire does?
Right, absolutely. But that's why I feel like we've invested a lot into this relationship, more so than Elijah and Haley. Obviously not as much as Klaus and Caroline, but Caroline's not on the show right now.
Not yet.
But more so than Klaus and Cammy, for sure.
Oh, yeah, no.
And so I just feel like,
Yeah, I'm
feeling a little gypped.
That was how it really was. I was like, well, okay. That was a strange thing to happen.
Yeah, when you came in and told me in the studio, you were like, you're not going to like this one.
No, and even, like, her goodbye to Haley was so sad to me. Like, knowing she's going to miss out on what she's always wanted was, like, a home and a family. And New Orleans could have been that for them at one point. And now she's not even going to be able to meet her niece or any of those things, which...
We're going to get her back. We're going to see her for at least an episode, I believe. I know they're saying no time in the near future, but... We're originals kicks butt. We're going to be around for many seasons, I believe.
No, I think they said there's opportunity for a guest appearance as soon as the end of this season or beginning of next season.
Absolutely. They didn't kill her.
No, so.
She wasn't white oaked.
So maybe if the baby's being bored, she comes back for that or.
If she had been white oaked.
Ooh, I would have been so upset.
I would have lost it.
I would have been like, I can't watch anymore. This is too much.
Totally lost
too
it.
Too much.
But wait, so who has the white oak right now then?
Klaus.
Not Rebecca. She gets stabbed with it. She doesn't pull it out and take it with her.
No, I don't think it was like that. I think it was Klaus stabbed her. She was probably still in a lot of pain. He probably had to pull it out of her. He kept it. She has no need for it. She's gone. She's leaving.
I don't know. I think she has it.
I think Klaus has it, but I don't know. That whole storyline was devastating. But on the side, we have all this mess happening with like Davina. So Davina, Marcel, and Cammy basically is the trio.
Yo, Davina creeping me out, man.
I don't love Davina.
I did love her character, but I kind of got used to the show without her. Didn't miss her that much. Now she's back on, and she isn't really speaking, and it just feels uncomfortable.
Well, she's mad. Everybody wants something from her, but guess what? A lot of what happened is Davina's fault. Like, the way she used all that power she had. Like, when she's mad that the ancestors are upset with her and the witches are angry with her, how can she be... blindsided by that. Like, she seems to be so shocked they're so upset with her and they're not going to let her just get away with it. You went against your people, the people who raised you, the people who were indeed trying to do something to better your coven.
Absolutely.
And you went against it.
But to play devil's advocate, she's 16. She had a lot of influences going in and out and, you know, she didn't know what to do. She felt conflicted. She was lied to by the witches, so she, in return, didn't treat them so well. I just think it's weird that she doesn't know whether she can trust Marcel at this point.
He brought you back. Like, he is...
Think about their final moments.
And he's nursing her back. He's, like, bringing her all these things. Like, he wouldn't do that if he didn't care about her.
Right, I know.
Because now she's not worth anything to him.
Also, when she's like, Cammy, be honest. I know you want something from me. Yeah, that is kind of an annoying feeling. But if I was a witch and capable of saving somebody's life... Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Exactly, no. And I think she's just... I think... A lot of it has to do with the fact she's 16 and selfish. I think a lot of... I know I was selfish as hell when I was 16.
It's less about being selfish, more about the fact that you cannot see the bigger picture.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess that's what I mean. Like, she's just focused on, like, how she feels. Like, I'm so upset and I'm so scared and I don't know what to do. But, like, okay. Well, Cammy's uncle's about to die. Rebecca's about to die. And Rebecca was going to help you. And that's the person Marcel loves. I mean, look at all of these things around you. What is more important right now?
Right.
You or them.
What do you think about giving her back to the witches?
I think it's the only choice. I don't think it's a malicious thing. I think my one question is Genevieve's intentions true?
Like,
is she going to be like a good leader for these witches, or is it going to be a tyranny, basically?
I'm not sure, but what we do know is Genevieve is alive, which means that another girl Davina's age is still dead.
That's what I was thinking about. Do you think, you know, little Devereaux, I'm blanking on her name,
Sophie?
Monique Devereaux and the girl, we don't know her name, who came back, and Davina, can they rise up against Genevieve? Because
to get their fourth friend back?
Yeah, because she's taking the place of somebody who they lost.
Absolutely. I'm not sure, but what I do know is that since Marcel gave Davina over to Genevieve, if Genevieve ends up being a cruel leader, Davina's never going to forgive Marcel. She's going to hold that against him and say that it was his master plan all along. She's and he never cared. And da-da-da-da. Yeah.
I know. I feel like no matter what, he didn't have a choice, though. If he kept Davina, it's bad news for Davina. The witches would come for her.
Right.
And if he gives her over, maybe it's easier. Maybe it's better.
And that way he's able to save Rebecca, kind of.
And maybe even Genevieve will see the bigger picture that Davina was kind of... It wasn't her fault she was in that place. If Marcel hadn't shown up and stolen her away from the harvest, she would have been killed. And the harvest would have been completed. And everything would have gone as planned. She would have been scared. She would have been terrified in the moment. But things would have gone well.
Would they have gone well? Because I'm starting to think about, we don't really know at what point Celeste took everything over.
Okay, well I forgot about Celeste. But I'm saying in terms of the harvest, had Marcel not stepped in...
Right.
Davina never would have had all that power. Davina never would have had to go against the witches. She never would have felt betrayed by the witches. It would have never been a question.
Absolutely.
So maybe Genevieve sees that and sees, you know, she was taken advantage of.
Hashtag, where's Josh?
Hashtag, where is Josh? And that's the other thing.
I want my gay best friend back.
I know. And she was saying, we got to get Davina away from the vampires. But I think that's the one vampire that she trusts above anyone right now is Josh. Above Marcel.
The one person. The one, you know.
Well, yeah. The one thing.
Yeah. I always, whenever I call them a person, everybody's like, they're not a person.
They're vampires. They're dead.
The one item.
Yeah, the one.
Individual.
I wouldn't say living thing because it's not living. But, yeah, you get the point. So I'm interested to see where that goes. And I kind of don't know how I feel. Like, I don't really understand why Cammie's involved in this situation.
Get me started on not understanding why Cammie's involved in any situation.
Okay.
You saw them hug, and I said, do they even know each other?
And I said, yes, they do.
Yeah.
They're friends.
They are friends, remember? They were working together. I'm just like, Cammie who?
Yeah, I know.
Cammie what?
I know. It's just...
Cammie don't care?
I don't really care. And even if Father K goes, like, that, I'll be sad for him because I feel like he's an innocent party in some ways, but like...
I wouldn't really mind considering he was... this is coming from me, and I understand what my voice sounds like, guys, but, like, he was nasal McNasal tonight.
Oh, yeah. It sounded like he was sick, and she was like, is that the hex?
Yeah.
The hex gives him a stuffy nose.
I don't know. It was kind of weird, and I'm like, he's already a goner.
Yeah. No, well, we think he is. Genevieve says we can't reverse it.
So. I think they'll find a way. Otherwise, they wouldn't. Otherwise, he'd already be dead.
That's true. And he wasn't acting too super crazy this episode, which he would normally be doing once the hex had been in him long enough. But so basically, other than that, we didn't get much of Haley's story. We don't really know where this is going with Davina. But I'd like to see Haley, and she's just waiting for her family to come back and have the curse reversed.
How long until we are at the Lunar?
2 episodes, I think.
Okay.
I don't think it'll happen next week, but I think it'll happen after that. Because I think...
I trust you.
Oh, thank you. I'm a writer, so... No.
Are you Julie?
I am. I am. Secretly, I'm Julie. But I only think that because of how things ended this episode... Klaus telling Marcel he has to get out. He's not going to kill Marcel, which shows a lot of improvement from who Klaus is.
I completely forgot about the end of the episode. Yeah. So Marcel goes head to head with Klaus.
He's willing to die. He's like, he's whatever. Like,
take me in front of my people if you're going to do it. Klaus just walks right away. Did Klaus do that hoping that Elijah was going to step up? No way, right?
No, no way. I think it was honestly just him saying, like, the thing that mattered to him was Rebecca. Like, Marcel, yeah, he cared about Marcel, but you know, that's not as important to him as what just went down. So there's no need to deal with it.
But why does Elijah do what he does here?
Because I think now Elijah is really focusing on, like they said, he's always been focused on everybody else. Now Rebecca's gone, that's one less thing. And Klaus has taken a huge step from who he was. And he's starting this new story. I think this is Elijah's way of showing who he is, what he wants. You know, they're going to have this house, which is their house. And they're going to have their city.
I think it's that, but I think primarily it's thank you for not killing our sister after I was down, you know?
So you think he did it for Klaus?
I think he did it as a, this is where I stand. Look where I stand. I'm Team Klaus.
Okay. And so where do we think that's going to go, though? I mean...
I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing to have the two of them ruling the city. We know that Marcel's not welcome anymore, but we know Marcel is staying, so there's definitely going to be drama there. Yeah. I haven't even begun to think about what this werewolf becoming people thing is going to do.
I couldn't even get that far. Couldn't get that far.
Because now we're going to have the queen and king of the werewolves versus the queen, the queen.
I know.
The kings of the vampires.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe she's gone. And so, I mean, that's our, we don't really have any news and gossip, but other than that, Claire is leaving the show. And as we find out more, I mean, I think that'll be a little bit more, when we get more information, we'll know more about why she's gone.
It's not even, is leaving, it's, is, has left.
Has left, is now, gone.
As of this point, you, if you are listening to the podcast, Claire has left the show.
She has left, she's the, left building. The building.
Yeah.
So, as sad as we are about that, we will hop into our predictions about what's going to happen without her.
Okay.
So, I think...
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Ooh, we can do this now.
We can do
our little spooky wooky.
I don't have any serious predictions other than what we really saw in the preview was that it's just going to be mass chaos between the witches, the vampires, and eventually the werewolves. I think this is when we find out where everybody stands. Like, who's good and who's bad? Like, what are their intentions? What does Genevieve want?
I wonder, though. So we are having this big party.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of reminding me a little bit of 1919. Mm-hmm. Is this a unification party?
I love that.
I doubt it, but how cool would that be if they're leading us in the direction right now. We think we're going to war.
Mm-hmm.
How cool would it be if, just for a little bit at least, this was the unification?
Well, because Elijah's saying, vampires are attacking, civilians or just attacking regular people. The witches are coming after us. It's this whole thing. Maybe that is what the end goal is. I don't know if that'll happen next week, but maybe the turmoil and all the devastation that's happening will lead to a unification kind of like it was in 1919.
Right, absolutely. We still don't know where Genevieve and Haley stand with each other. That's a little...
It's a little dicey.
A little dicey. But also, we see an Elijah Haley moment. Maybe a makeout sash is coming our way?
I don't know how that would happen. I have to say, that storyline has been gone for so long. Because of all this other drama.
She's just too skinny to be pregnant, man.
I say that every episode. I'm like, she's too skinny to be a pregnant woman. I mean, I know she's not really pregnant in real life, but way too skinny.
I'm like, your jawline is perfect.
Your legs. Tiny. I mean, everything about her. She looks great.
For a little thing.
But I'm interested to see where that werewolf storyline goes and how that will tie into the Haley Elijah baby thing. Because Rebecca says you protect her because every enemy that we have will become hers. So I think if there is a unification, it will be because of a bigger thing coming, something, an outside force coming for what this baby is.
Also the fact that Klaus is now trying to get back to his roots and the werewolves are part of his family.
Yeah, which I keep forgetting. They're his pack.
Yeah.
That's who he came from. They came from him.
Yep.
So it's just this big mess. But I'm just sad about it.
A cluster F, yeah.
I'm sad about it.
I am sad about losing her, but I am very excited about the possibilities that can come from this.
And hopefully she comes back. I mean, even if it is just for guest appearances, it'll be nice to have her.
It'll make it all the more special.
At least she's not dead, right?
That's what I'm saying. If they white-oaked her, then I was white-oaking the show.
Well, guys, let us know what you guys think on iTunes and YouTube. Comment, rate, tell a friend about it. And also keep the conversation going on Twitter or Instagram. You can tweet myself at Paige Sell.
And you can find me at Roxy Stryer.
Until next time, bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Yeah.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.